If you ever ask yourself the question, what does it take to please God? You know, some people think that if our bad works or our bad deeds are somewhat minimal, kind of low, and our good works are real high, that we will kind of balance things out. But the Bible says that there's only one way that we can please God. Let us turn to our scripture for this morning, Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Hebrews 11, verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So here we read that the only way that we can please God is by faith. If we do not have faith, we will not please God. It's very simple. Now the problem with that is that a lot of people think that they have faith, but they really don't. So what I would like to do this morning is to give us a little pop quiz before the big final exam. And you can examine yourself and ask yourself a question: how can I tell if I've got real faith? How do I know I've got the kind of faith that pleases God? How do I know I have the kind of faith that gives me access into heaven? And as one of your ministers, I am concerned that you don't get to the final quiz and you don't have the right answer. But fortunately, in the book of James, chapter 2, he tells us four things that faith is not. And then he tells us what faith is. So what is real faith? Real faith is not just something we say. Let's look at James chapter 2, verse 14. The epistle of James chapter 2, verse 14. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith, but does not have works? Can faith save him? Now, we might want to underline or circle this word says. In some translations, it might say claims. He's not saying here that the person actually has faith. He just says, he's saying that this person just says that they have faith, or they claim that they have faith. In other words, they talk a good line. They know all the right phrases. They got the Bible words down pat. They know the language of Christianese. They claim faith, but that doesn't mean he necessarily possesses faith. You know, there was a poll in the United States. It says there are over 50 million people in America who says that I am a Christian. But not all of those 50 million can back it up with a Christian lifestyle. And just because a person claims that he has faith or says that he has faith doesn't mean that they have it. So the point I want to make here is that real faith is more than just talk. You know, not everybody who has a Christian bumper sticker or a fish symbol on their car is a Christian. Have you ever figured that one out yet? I mean, you don't have to go more than a couple to receive more than a couple rude hand gestures from the driver behind you or the driver passing you before you begin to figure that out. And you start to think, hey, maybe that guy's really not a believer after all. He must have borrowed somebody's car, or he bought a used car and he just couldn't figure out how to scrape that bumper sticker off. You see, not everybody who claims to be a believer really is. Faith is more than just something that we say. Real faith is not just something that we feel. A lot of people confuse emotions and feelings with faith. You know, they come to a church service, they're emotionally moved, they are inspired, they're stimulated, and perhaps, it's like an old saying, it says they get a quiver in their liver, and you know, they say, oh man, I'm really moved. And they go out after the service, and maybe they even cried during the service, or during the prayer, or they felt God's presence. You know, that's really great. It really is. But just because you felt God's presence doesn't mean that you have real faith. There's a big difference between faith and feeling. And James also tells us in chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. He's saying here that faith is not just mere sentimentality. James chapter 2, verse 15 and 16. If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, "Depart in peace, be warmed and filled," but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? You know, you can go out on the street, and especially today, it is so easy to go out on the street and you see a homeless person who is destitute. Each and every day, I'm just amazed at the number of people that is increasing on every street corner, asking for food, asking for handouts. Just yesterday, I saw a woman right here on the corner of Gandhi and Manhattan. And I could tell that she was very uncomfortable being out there. And the sign that she was holding, she said, "Desperate. Need to pay rent to avoid living on the street." People are poor, they're hungry, they're not able to find work. They need clothing, they need shelter. And if we, you know, if we are to walk up to them and we just say, "Cheer up, don't worry, be happy, have faith, things will get better, have faith." You see, that's not faith. What is it? In 1 John chapter 3, verse 17. 1 John chapter 3, verse 17, we find out that faith is practical. 1 John chapter 3, verse 17. "But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, and how does the love of God abide in him?" Faith is practical. It gets involved in people's hurt. And when you see a need, you do something about it. You don't just spout off and say, "I'll pray for you." We have to do something about it. You see, if we are a Christian, then we are part of the family of God. And when we became a believer, we became part of this family. And as a result, we have some family responsibilities. And what are those family responsibilities? We care about when other Christians are hurting or in pain or grieving or in sorrow. And you might say, "Well, you know, I can't take care of everybody's needs. I myself can't do it." You're right, we can't. But we can meet some. And it may not make a difference to everybody, but it makes a difference to those few people that we are able to help. Next, we see James tells us that real faith is not just something that we think. You know, some people think of faith as a philosophical challenge. It's something they want to discuss, they want to debate, they want to argue about. And when they think about faith, it stimulates them mentally. Because to them, it's a concept to be debated. It's an idea to be discussed. It's a principle to be tossed about. We don't make any decision on it. We certainly don't make any commitment to it. We just discuss it. Now James, he imagines this kind of person in verse 18. This philosophical debater. And he says in James 8, chapter 2, verse 18. Let's go back to James chapter 2, verse 18. "But someone will say, 'You have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works.'" So what's he talking about here? He says, well, here's one person who will say, "Hey, you're into faith. That's okay. But me, I'm into deeds. I do charitable work. I do good deeds. Different strokes for different folks. You're into that, I'm into this. So let's debate it. Let's talk about it. Let's discuss it." So James is making a point here. He's saying faith is not something that we debate about. Faith is something that we do. It requires action. And the key phrase in here, I want you to circle this or underline this, is the phrase, show me. He says, show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. You see, faith is odorless, it's colorless, it's weightless. So how do we know when we have faith? How do we know if we've got the real kind of faith that pleases God? How do we know when we've got the kind of faith that will get us into heaven? Well, the Bible says to look at your lifestyle. And real faith will show up in the way that you are living your day-to-day life. Faith is just like calories. You can't see them, but you can sure see the results. And when a person really has Christ in his or her life, you can see it. You can see the results. And if you cannot see, then you have every reason to doubt. Do I, or does that person, have real, legitimate faith? You know, in America today, we have this gap between behavior and belief. And what we say we believe, we don't always back up with our lifestyles. You know, some people might say, hey, you know, my husband or my wife is a Christian. And you could ask, does he or she hang out with other Christians? Do they have fellowship together? Well, no. Do they have any desire to go to church? Do you ever see them read the Bible? Do you hear them pray on a regular basis? Do they tithe their income? Do they share their faith with anybody? Or do they ever tell anybody about Christ or try to lead people to Christ? Well, no. But then how do you know he's a Christian? Because he says he is. He thinks he is. You see, just because you think it doesn't mean it is so. Faith is not something that we think. It is not something that we feel. It is not something that we say. It is much more than that. If it is real, it will show up in the way you live your life. If you were to walk out of here after the service, and you were to stick your hand into a 220 volt socket, you would get connected to that power source very quickly, and you would know it. And your body would show it. Well, God is a far greater power source than that. And I don't think it is possible for God to come into your life without changing you. It is impossible for the Holy Spirit to dwell within you without changing you. And when people say, oh, I have Christ in my life, or I have the Holy Spirit, I believe in Jesus Christ. And you ask them, well, how are you different? How have you changed? You're still the same person. If they don't know any difference, then you have every reason to doubt if they have the real thing, the real faith. Several months ago, maybe about a year ago, there was a homeless person who came one Sabbath here during the break time. And I was in the fellowship hall speaking with him. And perhaps Randy or Sean remember, because I remember that they had walked by and saw me talking with him. And he was crying and gave me his very sad story. He told me that he loved Jesus Christ with all of his heart. You know, he wanted to go see his father. His father was dying in North Carolina and he needed some money for a bus ticket to go see his father. And it was obvious, very clear to me that this person was either high in drugs or alcohol or both, because he smelled like alcohol. And he said, oh, I love the Lord Jesus with all my heart. And he could even actually quote from the Bible. And for some reason, I could feel God speaking through me. I don't know. Normally, I would never say anything like this. But when he said, I love the Lord Jesus Christ with all my heart, immediately I said, no, you don't. You're lying. And I was even shocked myself that I said that. And I said to him, if you love the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart, you would not be drinking. You would not be an alcoholic. You would not be sitting here telling me a story. You would be doing something about your life to change your life. I said, you say your father is on his dying bed. Do you think this is how he wants to see his son? Homeless? An alcoholic? A drug abuser? Living on the streets? Do you think that is something that should be his last memory of you? If you love the Lord Jesus Christ with all of your heart, you will do something about your life. You will change your life. See, I don't believe somebody as big as Jesus Christ can come into our life and not change us. Because when the Lord Jesus moves into our house, the temple, the body of Christ, the body, he starts rearranging our furniture. And all of a sudden, our values change. Things that used to be important to us now become cheap thrills. They become unimportant, insignificant things. And we've got a whole new set of values. And all of a sudden, we're concerned about other people who are Christians. And all of a sudden, we are concerned about serving God, not just making money. All of a sudden, we are concerned about things that are going to last for eternity, not just what's going to happen tomorrow. Your whole life begins to take on a new meaning and a new purpose, a new significance, a new value. Your real faith will always produce a changed life. And last, number four, is James says, a real faith is not just something we believe. A lot of people have strong beliefs about Jesus Christ, strong beliefs about God, strong beliefs about the Bible. I mean, they go to Bible studies, they know the doctrines, say, I believe in this, I believe in that, all those kind of things. They have great beliefs, but that's not enough. And James points this out, and he uses a little bit of sarcasm here. James chapter 2, verse 19. James chapter 2, verse 19. You believe that there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. He says, big deal. You're not doing anything different than Satan does. Satan believes in God, but you're not going to find him in heaven. Why? Because he has not made a commitment to God. He has not given his life over to God. He has not submitted himself completely to God. You see, I believe in George Washington, but I'm not a Washingtonian. I believe in Jesus Christ and I'm a Christian. Why? Because I have committed my life to him. I have accepted him as my Lord and Savior. I've gone beyond just a merely intellectual belief in his existence to a belief that says, I trust you. I'm turning over my life to you. You know, a lot of people are going to miss heaven by only 18 inches. You're probably thinking, what? How can you miss heaven by 18 inches? You see, because they have it up here in their head, but they don't have it here in their heart. They've got a head knowledge about Christ. But let's see it in your life. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life. It's a relationship. Real faith is not just something that we believe. Real faith is something that we do. James chapter 2, verse 20. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? He's saying, how will you know you've got real faith? If you look at your lifestyle and you see what kind of actions follow as a result of it. You say, how do I visibly show that I have faith? Well, the first thing you need to do is, if you haven't already, is to be baptized. That's the very first command of Christ. In baptism, not only are we having our sins washed away in the spiritual blood of Christ, but we also are publicly identifying ourselves with Christ and with His body, His church. Baptism is saying to the world, I'm not ashamed to say I'm a Christian. I'm not ashamed to have my sins washed away. I'm not ashamed to follow the first command of Jesus Christ to identify myself as a believer. So what else do you do? Now you start to follow the commands of Christ. Our faith is proven by the way we live. And please don't misunderstand me. This is too important to misunderstand. You might be thinking, are you saying that I've got to work my way to heaven? No. Are you saying that I've got to do good works to be saved? Absolutely not. Good works are not the root of salvation. They are the fruit of salvation. They don't make you a Christian. They show that you are a Christian. They don't deliver salvation. They demonstrate salvation. We do good works not to get salvation, but because we've already received it. It is proof. Only by trusting Christ can we be saved. But the proof that we have trusted Christ is shown in our lifestyle. You know, a good passage that shows both of these truths together is Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 10. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 through 10. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. There's two important facts here. First, the basis for our salvation is God's grace. We can't earn it. We never can. And we don't deserve it. It's just a free gift that we accept. And we trust God to come through on His promise. You know, I accept what Christ did for me. The basis of my salvation is God's grace. His mercy and His grace. And secondly, the proof that of my salvation is my ministry. You say, do I have a ministry? Yes, you do, if you are a believer. Ministry is just a $10 word that means serving God by serving other people. The Bible says that we have a ministry if we are a Christian. The word minister means to serve. We are called to serve. We are saved to serve God. To save, to serve others. It's all part of the deal. So what am I saying? Let me summarize for you. I'm just saying, if your faith does not work, if it doesn't, your lifestyle, your life does not reflect good works for God, good works for man, if there's no evidence of it, then there is a good possibility it is not real faith to the degree that it will please God. Amen. So we need to settle that issue. Some of us, perhaps today, we want to say, I want to start not just to believe in Christ, but I want to follow Him. I want to work for Him. I want to have these to demonstrate my faith. And that's real faith. They ask you, what are you going to do as a result of today's message? Specifically, as we walk out of here, what are we going to do about it? Is it going to be, well, I just heard another sermon today, and then we go about our life just as we normally have? Or we could say, I heard it. I thought about it. I felt the message. I believed it. But that's not enough. Maybe the next step is, what do I need to do now, Lord, for You?